We will now read God's word, and there are two readings from Peter and from Matthew. The first one from 2 Peter 1 to 12 is entitled A Living Stone and a Holy People. So put away all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that it may grow, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for its own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passion of the flesh, which wages war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. And now we go to Matthew 5, and we read verses 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your God who is in heaven. So far, God's word.
Our text verses are from the first letter of Peter, chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And a topic chosen to proclaim his excellencies. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the letters that Peter wrote to the churches are so precious, applicable in our times as well, when Christians are feeling like a minority that needs to defend their faith and values. And we know we are different. The Bible is telling us that we are different. That's something that we can take glory in. But a question, why should we proclaim the gospel, knowing that we will be ridiculed, that we will be mocked? Why do believers in China and Afghanistan still proclaim the gospel, knowing that it can lead to their death? Should we not keep to ourselves, continue with our church here in the mountains, Blacksland, and let the world continue on its destruction? And then the word of God tells us no. That it's not God's plan to exclude ourselves. That Jesus instructed his church in Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16, that you are the light of the world, and a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but put it on a stand, giving light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works. And most important, give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You will hear this some more and be said in another way in this sermon, to proclaim his excellencies, to live to his glory. And this is your task, brother and sister. And so Peter explained the why and the how to do this. And he uses examples that are easy to understand and that we can relate to. It was so easy to raise minor children, little children. When you told them certain things, they believed it without arguments. But when they grow up, became teenagers, young adults, you have to give a careful motivation. Explain why you're doing things. Give the reason why we're doing and expecting certain things of them. And believers are like that as well. As infants in faith, we are happy accepting. But when we grow up in our faith, we are asking difficult questions. And this is natural. This is growing up in faith, becoming mature. But we need to be humble as well. Remembering 1 Peter 5, to stand firm in the Lord, to depend on him for everything, and to be obedient to God's word, because we are holy, his people, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. This is what Peter is telling us in the first letter, the second chapter, that we should depend on everything on the Lord, that we should come to him in a true faith. How do believers respond when they hear the gospel? And so Peter explains that a believer craves for the pure milk of the word. And he made it very applicable to describe believers when they hear the gospel, they are like newborn babies. Newborn babies are a sharp contrast to this world. The world is characterized by its wickedness, its hypocrisy, its envy. No love for God and his word, but babies yearn for the love of their mother and the milk of their mother. And children are honest in their actions and their desires only their mother. Without their mother, they can't exist. And the mother understands their cries, hear their hunger, meet their needs. Milk is compared with the teaching of Scripture. Life for the child. And so the word is life for the believer. Without milk, the baby died. Without the word, the believer dies. Without the word, we cannot grow. Without milk, a baby can't grow. Without the word, we will become weak in our faith. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 4, verse 4, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. With the word, there's no knowledge. There's no trust. And we can't grow to enjoy the solid food of the word. With the word, we can fight against our evil nature. And therefore, we read in Hebrews 6, verse 1, Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. At one stage, a baby leaves the milk of its mother and enjoys the solid food of the Word. This is how it is with a believer as well. This is growth. This is what the Lord offers in His Word. Growth is needed, essential. A clear command of God in His Word. Verse 2 of our Bible reading, so that you may grow up in your salvation. And the more we are busy with the Word of God, the more we will understand the Word of God. The more we will grow in love, the more we will grow in maturity, the more we will grow in faith. This is a congregation as well. To move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ. Be taken on to maturity. To understand the whole counsel of God. As it is revealed in the Word of God as well. When we first hear the gospel, we are like newborn babies. And the more we are busy with the Word of God, we're growing in our faith beyond the elementary teachings. Then we seek also understanding in the more difficult teachings. The election of believers. 1 Peter 2. Also why God allows suffering. And Peter explains it so well in this chapter. And so Peter tells the congregation, you're not babies anymore. As he is telling you this morning. And so he explained carefully why God chose certain people and why in his wisdom passed other. He also tells us that you don't have to fear suffering. You don't have to fear the times. But you can rejoice as it is part of God's plan. That God is in control. That you can look ahead because you belong to God. You are citizens of the kingdom of God. Not of this world. That what is happening now is all part of God's building process. That you need to understand that God is working with a plan called His eternal decree. And according to His plan, God has decided who would be saved before the creation of this world. He decided this in Jesus according to Ephesians 1 verse 11. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. While I was writing the sermon, I was sitting in my study. I was thinking, looking at my window and through my window at times. And I was looking at my driveway. It's built from what I think thousands of cement bricks. An end product, what I had there, is a very functional driveway. And what I can only imagine, I'm not a builder, would have been a complex process. And I asked certain questions while I was supposed to be busy with my sermon. Why did the builders or previous owners use cement bricks? As I said, I don't know anything about building or building a driveway. And so I looked it up. Interestingly, there are many reasons. It's long-lasting, easy to maintain, better reaction to heat, it expands, light, better load-bearing capacity, no messy surface. It's friendly for the environment. And it also helped to sell the property faster. So how do you build a driveway? And before you ask this question, you have to make specific considerations. And that's an internet as well. installation. If you use a chemical surface retarder to delay set time, it will allow easy surface removal. But this method will expose your lawn and family to harmful chemicals. Not good in a time that we live. Durability, harsh weather, or another thing that happened, the hail on Friday. I saw that as well. And the pressure from heavy objects can eventually loosen the stones on the surface. And water that has accumulated on the surface can slowly weaken the bond, the concrete bond. You also have to think of maintenance in the future. Repairing a patch will require matching stones to pack it with. And you have to buy a brush to remove the dirt on the surface. And ceiling maintenance is needed every 2 years to give it more strength. This was all very interesting. But how do you build a driveway? I can only imagine. You need a plan. You make calculations. You choose the bricks carefully. And then you start with YouTube as your guide. That's not true. It will only end in disaster. So don't trust me to build a driveway. I'll rather build a sermon. My conclusion, ask the qualified builders in our church. But Peter explained God's building process in this chapter. And he tells us that God is building an eternal building, a temple, a spiritual house, a royal priesthood, a spiritual priesthood. And God has decided this in his eternal decree, even before this world was created. He also explained what God has done in Jesus and how God's building plan was fulfilled in Jesus. That God is the master builder. God works with an eternal plan. And God has eternal insight. And then he also explains why certain stones in the endless building were chosen and others were rejected. And Peter explained that God chose individuals and shaped them in Jesus to be God's building. That Jesus is the cornerstone, the first stone. And as we come to him, the living hope, God takes individuals and shapes them in Christ so that they can be part of his whole church, that whole building, that spiritual building. And that we are refined in him through sufferings. And we share in his sufferings and we are sanctified in him. Again to the building process. You want your stones and your bricks to look the same. To achieve this, you have to have a perfect stone, a template, an example. This template, an example, is the cornerstone, our Lord Jesus Christ. His role as the cornerstone of God's house was prophesied in Old Testament, verse 6. Remember from last week's sermon, Peter is always using the Old Testament. Here he quotes Isaiah 28, verse 16. Telling us that God is laying a new cornerstone in Zion. And when Isaiah first gave this prophecy, he was speaking against leaders in Israel and Judah who were placing their trust in foreign leaders, Egypt, to save them instead of the Lord. And the Lord pledges rather to lay a foundation in Zion. He promised that in Zechariah as well, as we've heard this morning. That only those who trust him will never be put to shame. Don't trust in the world. Don't put your trust in the government. Don't trust all these regulations to keep you safe. Trust the Lord. Still the same message. And the promise that the Lord will give a cornerstone is the ultimate fulfillment in Jesus Christ, as Zechariah has promised as well. That He is the rock of our salvation and can alone guarantee our eternal security. He's not only the cornerstone, but in fact, He's the true living temple who set aside any need for the old temple that was built by hands. This is not a temple built by hands, but a temple built by God. And we become living stones in this temple only as we trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is God's plan. And so Peter is telling us about God's plan revealed by His Holy Spirit, told by the prophets. And He tells us why we are chosen, that we share in Jesus, in the true faith. But He also tells us that when we suffer, we are shaped in Jesus, sanctified. Jesus did suffer. And our most significant suffering was through sin and disobedience. But Christ was willing to suffer for us. He was prepared to take our sorrows on Him. And He took it to the cross. The word suffer is so hard to understand. And we will appreciate suffer and suffering only if we understand what Christ went through. Christ went through the cross, willing to wear grief into totality for us, all the suffering of this world. And He, righteous man, did in the power of His divinity carry the burden of the wrath of God in His humanity, gain for us the righteousness of God in eternal life. And He became the fulfillment of God's plan. God made Him the cornerstone. What is then God's plan with our suffering? God is molding us, refining us through fire so that the tested genuineness of our faith becomes more precious than gold that perishes though it's tested by fire. 1 Peter 1 verse 7. 1 Peter 4 verse 12. Peter said, "Do not be surprised at a fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening. But rejoice in so far you share in Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed." This is what happened to Christ. Christ suffered on a cross, but He was resurrected, glorified with our Lord in heaven. And this will happen to you as well. Suffering, refining, and glory as it happened to Christ. And so Peter continues. He tells us that those who trust in Christ receive the honor. 1 Peter 2 verse 7. In real sense, who trust in Jesus have the incredible privilege of sharing His honor, His glory. Though glory belongs to Him alone, God graciously bestows honor on us because of Christ. This is why we suffer. We went through suffering and going through suffering the same as our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we will be glorified. So the question, why are certain stones then rejected? As an earthly builder, you also know when a stone is not suited. When a stone does not look like the other stones, the cornerstone. God even knows more. And in His eternal decree, He decided that honor is not due to those who reject the cornerstone, our Lord Jesus Christ. Still, this rejection shouldn't be surprising because it was also foretold by the prophets. Verse 7 of 1 Peter 2 quotes from Psalm 118, verse 22, which spoke of the rejection of the king by the people, but also the vindication of that a king will receive. Again, this was fulfilled by Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, whose rejection led to his exoneration at the resurrection. And as such, Jesus is the cornerstone, the foundation of the new temple, the rock of offense for all those who do not believe. 1 Peter 2 verse 8. This unbelief should not surprise because it's part of the Lord's eternal decree. And so God in his kindness chose his church and Jesus. Not all people are chosen to eternal life. When they are chosen, it's by grace alone. But people who are rejecting Jesus stumble on Jesus. And that's through their own fault, their unbelief in Jesus. Jesus is the cornerstone. Jesus became the rock of offense. And on him, unbelievers stumble. We know it's true. We know that people are rejecting Jesus. We know in our times how they blaspheme the Lord's name, how they hate Jesus, how they hate Christians because of Jesus. But Peter said, don't fear. This will lead to glory. This will lead to honor. God made Jesus the cornerstone. And in him we became a building not made with hands, but an eternal house in heaven. Also 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1. And this is how God builds. God has an eternal perspective. He's the master builder with an eternal plan. And for his grace alone, I'm part of that building because of my faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. And faith in Jesus is so important because it gives perspective. It means that you are a citizen of the kingdom of God. It means that all the suffering of this world will not let you stumble, but let you see more. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Hebrews 11 verse 11. And through faith, we know that God has a plan, that everything is in his hands. And when I suffer, I give glory to the Lord, knowing that the Lord is sanctifying me through fire to become more like Jesus, the cornerstone. And so Peter started this letter by giving glory to God. Chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And I can only say, I was saved out of grace alone. Called out of darkness into the marvelous light. Verse 9. Darkness is the absence of light. Darkness is evil, gives no comfort. We belong to that. But the Lord said to us, you are now my people. And from them Jesus said in John 10 verse 28, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. We are God's children. And because we are God's children, we can't exclude ourselves. We need to proclaim God's glory. The light of the gospel is now in us, cannot be hidden. And a Christian can't keep quiet about his redemption in Jesus. A Christian proclaims the gospel because they are changed through the Spirit, reborn in Christ. And because we are part of God's eternal building, a hole is his church, a stone In part of the whole temple, we need to proclaim His excellencies. Live to His glory, even though we are strangers in this world. And so our purpose is given so clearly in our Bible reading, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. This is your calling, brothers and sisters, to live in His glory. Why we need to be a light in a dark world, even though it leads to suffering. Always the calling of God's church. Also the Old Testament church. And Peter referred to Isaiah when he calls the church and 1 Peter God's people. Isaiah 43 verse 21, the people whom I'm formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. And so Peter was using the same language talking about the New Testament church. People that were not born Jews. And you see the calling of the church to proclaim God's excellencies. It's why we are church. Why we are obedient to God's word. Why we should stay with God's word. The true doctrine. And the church should go out in the world, proclaim God's excellencies, His redemption in Christ, and call people to repent in Jesus as the only way, truth, and life. Church can never be quiet, should speak up, and we should live as salt, light. This is valid for Australia, Afghanistan, China, Pakistan, and we need to live honorable. A salt in our conduct, even if we are strangers in this world. To proclaim God's excellencies. And Jesus said to His church before His ascension in John 20 verse 21, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. In the same way, the Father sent His Son to glorify His name in the world. So the Lord is sending His church in the world to glorify His name. And the Son did not come to the world for selfish reasons. In the same way, the church cannot exist for its own. That's why we can't exist for our own selfish reasons and stay to our own here in the mountains. We should proclaim God's excellencies. God's word should be preached. God Himself will work the faith in Jesus, bend the will through His Spirit. And then God reveals when every stone is there, those who God chose to be part of His eternal building, then our Lord Jesus Christ will return. We confess this in Belgian Confession Article 37. Finally, we believe according to God's word that when the time appointed by the Lord comes, which is unknown to all creatures, and the number of the elect, the chosen, is complete, our Lord Jesus Christ will come from heaven, bodily and visibly, as He ascended, with great glory and majesty. This is our task, brothers and sisters, to be God's light. You are the light in the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it on their basket, but on a stand. It gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And if we know this, we understand this. We can never think that we can serve the Lord on our own. Then we will also know that we need to come back in a few weeks. Better than ever before, to serve the Lord as a whole, as His church. I can't keep to myself. Because God takes individuals, stones, and build them to be His church, an eternal temple. And the church is instrumental in what we are and what we should do. That we should live holy, obedient lives, Chapter 1, as God's people, and proclaim His excellencies in everything we do. And God is saying this to His church in 2021. Yes, it's difficult times. Yes, you are aliens in this world. Yes, you are strangers. Yes, there are people who are persecuted. And yes, you will be persecuted. However, stand firm in your faith. You have an eternal perspective through faith in Jesus. You know the end of the story. When Jesus returns. And the Lord is busy still with his refining process. And even when he's refining you, trust in him. Remember that you live in this world, but you are not from this world. Once you were not my people, the Lord says, but now you are my people. And I'm still using you to proclaim my excellencies until the day I have determined. This is through grace alone. Our purpose above all, to be the light in this dark world. Stand firm, brothers and sisters. Jesus is coming. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, chosen as your people. This is such a marvelous, incredible grace that we can share as your building, that we can be your building, your church, that a church will exist in all eternity. That we can be part as individual stones of this building, not made with hands, but made by you, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to you alone through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that we will proclaim your excellencies even through suffering, pain. That we will stand firm and that we will always yearn as newborn babies for the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, the living word that lives in us through your Spirit. Father, we pray that your church will stand firm. We pray that your church will return in fullness, that your church will grow, not only in numbers, but also in wisdom, also in maturity, and that our light will shine. In Jesus' name, amen.